This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Relevant Radio's Vatican correspondent Ashley, good morning. How are you? Sunny Rome today?
Buongiorno, John. Well, you know what? We have a little bit of a cloudy and gray Rome, but I have to tell you, on the day of Monday when Rome went into a yellow zone and all the restrictions eased, the sun was shining bright and it felt like everyone in the entire city was out enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the beautiful spring flowers. And so, of course, we don't mind the rain either, because that means that it's exactly what our spring flowers will need, John.
Do you see a few more tourists now on the streets?
You know, actually, what we are seeing are still there are Italian and European cultural organizations that are coming, making trips, wanting to see the sights. And of course, it really is such a blessed time to do that, John, because there's no one here. And in addition to the fact that there's no lines, for the first time ever, you're going to get a really intimate experience with art, with beautiful statues, and it's just an amazing opportunity. So we're not seeing lots, but the other day it was reported that there were 4 tour buses parked near the Vatican, and so that is a glimmer of hope for sure.
Boy, there you are, Glenn. How many, about 7 years now we've been on the air just saying, you know, it would be great to send Morning Air to Rome. Here's our opportunity. Both of us are vaccinated. We're ready to get a plane ticket for next to nothing. And it's just, you got to take the good with
the
bad.
We're waiting. Yeah. Come on over.
Timing's everything.
I can be packed in 15 minutes.
Timing's everything. All he has to do is carry the accordion that fits in the overhead. It's 28 before the hour here with Ashley Nerona live from Rome, the Pope's general weekly audience. You know, we were just having a conversation with Father John Gordon from the Archdiocese of Newark about prayer and meditation, and that's exactly what the Holy Father was focusing on today in this weekly audience.
Yes, exactly. That Christian meditation is a form of prayer where one can encounter Jesus. The Holy Father said that for a Christian to meditate is actually to seek meaning, and it implies placing oneself, quote, before the great page of revelation in order to make it our own, taking it in completely. He cited the Catechism of the Catholic Church and noted that Christian meditation engages thought and imagination and emotion and desire. He said it's the mobilization of faculties and it's necessary to deepen convictions of faith and to prompt the conversion of heart and to strengthen the will to follow Christ. And Christian prayer, above all, tries to meditate on the mysteries of Christ. And Pope Francis pointed out that with meditation on the mysteries of Christ, in this way, through the Holy Spirit, Christians can be present at the River Jordan when Jesus is baptized. He said, can be diners at the wedding feast of Cana when Jesus gives the best wine for the happiness of the couple. He said, they can be witnesses in amazement to the thousands of healings that were performed by our Lord. And at the same time, the prayerful Christian can be the cleansed leper and the blind Bartimaeus who regains his sight and Lazarus who comes out of the tomb. So it's because through Christian meditation, the word mingles with what the Catechism calls the book of life. He said here, Jesus Christ is the great door through which the prayer of a baptized person passes. And he said that if an experience of Christian meditation brings inner peace or self-mastery or clarity, he said, these are side effects of the grace of Christian prayer. He quotes, side effects of the grace of Christian prayer and the encounter with Jesus. And finally, today, Pope Francis said the most important thing is to advance with the Holy Spirit along the one way of prayer, which is Christ Jesus, John.
Ashley and Rona with the Pope's General Weekly Audience here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You mentioned at the beginning of the conversation that Italy is going into a yellow zone. We're starting to open up a little bit more here across the United States. Some of the mask requirements are being dropped depending on where you are. So what does it mean now that you're in a yellow zone, and what's open that wasn't open before?
Well, that's great to hear that the U.S. is also experiencing this, John. And What we're experiencing now in a yellow zone, of course, again, we categorize the severity of regulations by color. So it's red, orange, or yellow. And then, of course, everybody's going for white. That's what everybody wants. So in the meantime, yellow means that, for example, museums will open again, and they're going to open for 7 days a week, which is really exciting. So that means the Colosseum, the Palatine Hill will now be open 7 days a week. There were a few sites that were allowed to be open, but only on weekdays. So this is going to, so this is going to bring a little bit more normalcy for those who want to see the wonderful sites of Rome and, of course, the archaeological sites of Italy. Now, in the meantime, the yellow zone also means that a lot of businesses are opening again. It also means that restaurants that have any kind of outdoor dining, they're going to be able to serve outside. But those who do not have access to outdoor dining, they're still stuck. They are going to have to do only takeaway. And of course, as the weather is getting nice simultaneously, more and more people are going to be wanting to dine outdoors. So hopefully that business will start booming again. Schools are open. Also, cinemas are open. Nightclubs, live music venues, theaters, concert halls. But everything has to be open at a maximum of half capacity, so maximum of 50%. And in the meantime, there is a 10 p.m. curfew that is remaining in effect. Now, I mentioned that EU travel is still happening, but of course that's been happening since last June. But right now, non-EU travel is still restricted. But I will say that yesterday, a government official hinted that even that is expected to change soon. So we'll wait and watch on that. And then Glenn and John, you all can buy your tickets and come on over. We're
there
waiting
you
for you.
Okay, that sounds like an invitation if I ever heard one, Glenn. I don't know if you can't turn that down. You don't want to be impolite here. Have you and John physically been in a restaurant, or do you only dine outdoors?
Well, actually, we visited some of our friends who are restaurant owners to say hello, to see how they're doing. And it's a very somber atmosphere when everything inside is dark and all the tables are empty. But yesterday, I taught my first live class, actually, of the entire semester at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross. That was delightful. And as I was walking back past the piazza where it was just filled, every table of this particular restaurant had customers, and it was just really exciting to see. I think that as this weather is getting warmer, people are itching to be outside and, of course, hoping in whatever way possible to support their local businesses.
One of the great places in the world for food is Rome. If Glenn and I came, or if any of our Relevant Radio listeners are planning a trip to Rome, what would you recommend having first to really experience that taste of Italy?
Oh, John, you know what? I love talking about food, too. And in fact, it's really funny you ask, because on Sunday, John, my husband John and I gave a talk about Italian cuisine, its history, its traditions, its meaning. And somebody asked us the same question. And I have to tell you that if you're coming to Rome, one of the first things that you need to do it the right way, right? You need to start with the aperitivo so you can enjoy some Roman street food at that time. This is going to be early in the evening. You can have your Aperol spritz, perhaps, or your Campari, which have a little bit of bitterness in them, which is meant to stimulate the salivary glands to prepare you for the meal to come. So you might then enjoy a wonderful pasta that's local to this area. So for example, a nice amatriciana, a red sauce. It has onions, it has pancetta, and it has just a little bit of kick in it so that you get just a teeny bit of spice. And that comes from the Rieti area near Rome. And next, how about some nice ossobuco? That would be fabulous, followed by a good tiramisu. Of course, you'd have to have your espresso to follow that, and then your digestivo, so your limoncello at the end. So there's your full menu for as soon as you touch ground.
There you go.
I wonder, does Chef Boyardee make any of those things? Could I find them on my local supermarket shelf?
Well, when we have the SpaghettiOs for lunch today, be Ignatian.
Right.
You can be Ignatian about lunch today when you and I have the SpaghettiOs, and just pretend we're having what Ashley talked about.
That's right. Well, Glenn, I'm happy to tell you that once you come here to Italy, I have a feeling that you won't be going back to SpaghettiOs. I'm just speculating.
Just a theory.
Just a theory. Exactly.
We may have to put that to the test. Ashley Noronha is an American living in Rome. She and her husband, John, have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, and that provides Renaissance-style theological formation to visitors to Rome. You can find out more at truthandbeautyproject.com, that website, truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, all the best to you, and John, take care.
Thank you. Same to you. God bless.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.